I'll just say he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Amen. Can I just say this tonight, as I've watched folks come to an altar and get help, I want to assure you about something tonight. Paul wrote to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. He said, if God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Can I just tell you, if he's big enough to take care of your greatest need, the salvation of your soul, then mark her down, friend, he's big enough to take care of every other need you'll ever have. Amen. Oh yeah. Brother, 32 years ago, he saved my sorry soul from a devil's hell. And thank God, you know what, every other need I'll ever face, he's sufficient, he's able, and he's big enough to take care of it tonight. Amen. Woo, ain't you glad to serve one like that tonight? Amen. Can I just echo the parsons tonight? It's been a pleasure. It's been a blessing to be with you here at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church in Lancaster, South Carolina. I'm telling you, it's been a joy. Pastor Tim, thank you for this invitation. Church, thank you for your love and your kindness, your prayers, your encouragement, and all you've done to be a blessing. We appreciate you so much, and appreciate all those from other churches that have come. Pastor Mitch, y'all coming to be with us. What a blessing. Just a little taste of what heaven's going to be like. Amen. When God's people come together, and all just thank you for everything. And we always enjoy being with the Parsons. We love them, and always count it a great joy to be with you all, Brother Kenny. In fact, Gina's got to where she's calling the girls her girls. Amen. She'll refer to them. She'll say, my girls. I said, that's all right, but we ain't putting them on the payroll. Amen. Praise God. We love them. We're so thankful for them, what God's doing in their work for him. And we're so thankful for you tonight. And whether you've been able to be here one night or every night, we're glad you're here tonight. Amen. And to be able to witness. You know what? It's good for these young people to see what God's doing. Amen. I mean, there's too many dead, dried up churches. My loved ones, I want them to be where the power of God is, amen. And to witness what God can do in the lives of people, amen, that'll trust him by faith. I love the Lord tonight. It's so good. And we're praying for Sister Jawan. We miss her, and sorry she can't be here, but we're trusting God for her healing. And last night I asked you to pray for my nephew, and thank you. The Lord brought him through his surgery, and thank God he's doing well. And we do have another request. I have a great niece that had another seizure, and God knows all about that. And would that you pray for Ellie's her name. I call her Ellie Mae. And I just pray that you'd remember her in prayer. But if you got your Bibles tonight, and I trust you do, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 7 tonight. I thought I might be going somewhere else, but this is where God keeps bringing me back to. And I thought this is the fourth time in these five services that I've been in the Gospels, but I like what Brother Tim said. He said, the Gospels are good. Amen. And so this is just where God's leading me tonight, to Luke chapter 7. Amen. I'm glad he could take our five little loaves and two fishes and do something with it tonight. Amen. And I hope tonight you'll just put it in the Master's hands. Oh, ain't nothing better I thought about as these people have come tonight and just putting their trust in the Lord, putting it in his hands. You know what, friend? Listen, we don't have sufficient within ourselves, but when you give it over to him, when you put it in his hands, he can do what you and I cannot do. Amen. Andrew said, what is that among so many? He admittedly said, Lord, we don't have enough. Amen. But the Lord said, bring it to me. Amen. And when you give it to him, friend, he can do something with it tonight. Amen. And praise God. And it's been good to see what he's done all week, and looking forward to what he's going to do tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do me a favor tonight. If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
If you're sure about it, say glory.
Glory.
And if you're happy about it, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo, that sound good. Amen. Luke chapter 7, look with me if you will. Some very familiar verses, and just can't get it off my mind tonight. Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead. Woo! I said, he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Preacher Trevor, would you ask a blessing on God's word tonight? Oh God, have your way tonight. Have your way tonight. We're praying for your power. Praying for you to have your way. Touch hearts. Minister to folks. Bless your bride. God, speak to hearts. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Before I give you the title of my message, I want to give you the first point tonight, and I've only got four, so don't get nervous. Amen. I want to give you the first point. Write this down if you're taking notes. I see the critical conditions. I see the critical conditions. Ain't looking good for mama. Oh no, can I just tell you the critical conditions? First of all, I believe this woman is hurting. I believe she's hurting, Preacher Tim. Listen, notice what she's doing. They're taking her son, her only son, her dead son, out of the city of Nain to bury him. They're headed for the graveyard, friend. This woman is hurting. And in 32 years of ministry, I have heard many say, Brother Kenny, that the greatest hurt that anybody's ever experienced is the death of a child. And Preacher Mitch, no doubt there's somebody here tonight can attest to that. Say, oh yes, preacher. I know my mother-in-law, she's experienced that. And maybe others here have experienced that. Oh, I see she's hurting. Her son is dead and they're headed for the graveyard. Her only son. Oh, I see she's hurting tonight. But not only is she hurting, I want you to recognize, I believe she's hopeless tonight. She's not just hurting, friend, she's hopeless. Because not only is her son dead, not only is her only son dead, but recognize what the Bible said, she was a widow. And now listen, I don't know when her husband died and how long he'd been dead, but when her husband died, the responsibility to take care of her on her son. The Bible calls it requiting. And it would have been his obligation to requite his mother and to tend to her and take care of her and make sure that she had what she needed. But now this woman is not only hurting because her son is dead, but she's hopeless. Because her husband is dead and now her son, her caretaker, is dead. I wonder, on the way to the graveyard, she's a wondering, what am I going to do now? Who's going to take care of me now? Who's going to help me now? How am I going to make it now? Brother, this woman is hurting and she's hopeless. But I want you to recognize this, friend, she's helpless. Because not only is she hurting over the death of her son, and she's hopeless because her husband's dead and her boy's dead, but I believe, listen, she's helpless. You know why? Look up here, friend, because within herself, there ain't a thing she can do to change her situation. She's helpless. Her boy's dead. And I guarantee you she'd rather be doing anything than taking her boy to the graveyard to bury him. But not only is she hurting and hopeless, but she's helpless because she can't change her circumstance. She can't reverse her situation. She can't do nothing to make it any different than what it already is. And I just wonder, preacher, if on her way to the graveyard with her son, her only son, her husband's dead, her boy's dead, and she's headed to the graveyard hurting, hopeless and helpless, I just wonder if in the back of her mind she's thinking, it's over. It's over. It's over. It's over. And I wonder if I'm preaching to anybody tonight, listen, that you've come in and you've got your own critical conditions. I wonder if I'm preaching to anybody tonight that the devil, the world, and the flesh has told you it's over. I wonder if I'm preaching to somebody tonight, the world, the flesh, and the devil has told you it's too late. It's too far gone. It's impossible. Stick a fork in it. Throw up the white towel. Hey, listen. Throw up the white flag. Throw in the towel. Give up. Give in. Just bury that dead thing. Oh, listen, that lost loved one you've been praying for, they ain't never going to get saved. That wayward loved one, they ain't never coming back. Oh, listen, they can never be delivered. That thing can't ever be fixed. The healing won't ever come. The need won't ever be met. That marriage can't be mended. That relationship can't be restored. It's an impossible situation. There is no way. There is no hope. It's done. It's done. Listen, it's over. It's over. It's over. I wonder tonight if somebody told them words that it's over, that it can't be done. It's too far gone. It's impossible. Hey, friend, tonight the world, the flesh, the devil has told you that it's over. But oh, let me give you the title of my message tonight. Because even though this woman had some critical conditions, and I'm preaching to somebody tonight that maybe like her, you're hurting and you're helpless and you're hopeless and you got your own conditions. But can I just tell you before I leave out for Indiana tonight, hey, can I just tell you that in the hands of Jesus, brother, it's not over. Oh yes, friend, I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up, when he comes on the scene, when he gets involved, brother, when he sticks his hand in it, hey, can I just tell you, friend, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Praise God, it's not over yet. Amen. In case you missed it, my message is it's not over tonight. Amen. It's not over. It's not over. Don't know what some of these folks been praying about tonight, but it's not over. And I guarantee you there's some of you still sitting in your pew. You should have done come and got it took care of. But oh, can I just tell you, it's not over yet. Oh, the world, the flesh, and the devil will tell you it's over. It's too far gone. Can't be done. That prayer ain't going to get answered. That need ain't going to get met. Oh, listen, just bury that dead thing. But I'm telling you, no matter how critical the condition is, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over yet, friend. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me awful funny tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, it ain't over yet. Oh, yes, not only do I see the critical conditions, but number two, hey, listen, let me tell you why it ain't over. Because I see the caring compassion. I see the caring compassion. I just want you to picture this. Can I paint you a picture tonight? Look up here according to what the Bible. Notice in verse 11, the Bible said that Jesus was coming to the city called Nain. Notice he was with him. The Bible said that many of his disciples and much people. Do you see it? At the end of verse 11, many of his disciples and much people. That's what the book said. But notice also in verse 12, I see that as Jesus is coming in to the city of Nain with much people, notice what is going on. The Bible said this woman, listen, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people. of the city watch with her. Woo! Look up here, friend. I'm no Bible scholar, but I'm telling you what verse 11 said, that as Jesus went into the city of Nain, there was with him much people. And as this woman was coming out of the city of Nain, there was with her much people. There was much people coming in. There was much people coming out. I don't know how much is, but it's a bunch, brother. Hey, I don't know how much is, but it's a whole lot. Much people coming in, much people coming out, much people coming in, much people coming out. And these two great groups of people begin to converge there at the city of Nain. But in the middle of it all, woo, notice what the book said in verse 13. And the Lord saw her. Woo! I said the Lord saw her. Oh, much people coming in, much people coming out, but in the middle of it all, he saw her. I don't know what your critical condition is tonight. I don't know what it is you're praying about, what you need God to do, but I'm glad there's one tonight that sees you. He sees you. He sees you. He knows all about you. Praise God. He knows right where you are. He knows exactly where you are. Praise God. He saw her. Amen. Saw her. But it gets even gooder than that, because not only did he see her, but notice what the book said. The Bible said when the Lord saw her, he had compassion. Oh, he had compassion on her. Oh, praise God. Can I just give you the definition of the word compassion? I've done looked it up so you don't have to, but here is the definition of the word compassion. It is sorrow for the sufferings or the hurts of another or others. If that was all there was to it, that'd be good. Sorrow for the sufferings or the hurts of another or others. But it's even better than that. Here's the second part of the definition. Accompanied by an urge to help. Woo! Someone said, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm telling you that not only does he sorrow for you and sorrow for me in our hurts and in our sufferings, but praise God, he wants to help me and he wants to help you. Oh, praise God for his compassion, that he sees you, knows all about you, and he wants to help you tonight. Praise God for his caring compassion. Amen. Amen. You call the White House tonight if you wanted to, and say, I'd like to speak to our president. Ain't no way. You could call the Vatican if you wanted to, and say, can I speak to Mr. Pope? No, not a chance. But I'm telling you, there's some folk tonight that made their way to an altar. Guess who they got yoked up with? Guess who they got to talk to? Guess who they had a conversation with? Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. He has compassion and he wants to help you. He wants to help you. He wants to help you. You can come boldly to the throne of grace, and there you can obtain mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. Amen. Woo! Ah, praise God. I'm about to hire some young fella to take a lap for me. Amen. Not only do I see her critical conditions, but I see the caring compassion. Much people coming in, much people coming out. Whoop, he saw her, and he had compassion on her. He wanted to help her. Oh, praise God. And tonight, don't know what you stand in need of, but I assure you, my friend, he has compassion for you. He loves you. He wants to help you. Praise God for a Savior like that tonight. Amen. The critical conditions. What's your condition tonight? What it is? What is it that has burdened you down? What it is? What is it that you're praying about? What is it you need God to do? The caring compassion. I told him the other day, you're not just a face in the crowd. You're not just a card lost in the shuffle or a misplaced cog in the wheel of life. He sees you tonight. He has searched you and tried you, knows all about you tonight. Praise God. He wants to help you, friend. Amen. But number three, I want you to notice this. I see the commanding call. I see the commanding call. Oh, notice what he says to this woman as he has compassion on her. Notice what he says. He gives her the first command we read in this text. He says, weep not. You know what? There might have been some folk, I told you this the other day about another matter, but there might have been some folk saying, what are you talking about? Weep not. This woman's husband is dead. Now her son, her only son, is dead. We're taking him to the graveyard to bury him. What do you mean? Weep not. How many remembers in John chapter 6? How many remembers in John chapter 6 when there was that great multitude of people and the Lord just walked up to Philip and said, when shall we buy bread that all these may eat? You know what the Bible said? He said, listen, the Bible said he asked him that to prove him because he already knew what he was going to do. Woo! You know, I believe Jesus said to her, weep not, mama, because I believe he already knew what he was going to do. Amen. Hey, she didn't know. She didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew what he was going to do. And you know what? There's a lot of situations that you and I, we don't have any idea what he's going to do, but he already knows what he's going to do. And can I just assure you, friend, it'll be for his glory and for your good, so you can just trust him and know he's got it all under control. Amen. Amen. Weep not. I believe he already knew what he was going to do. Oh, yes, friend, but I want you to notice something else as we consider the commanding call. There's something that has happened here. Remember what I told you. Remember what I told you. These men are carrying this dead man on a what I call a bier. You may pronounce it different than me. I call it bier, coffin, casket, call it what you want to. They was packing him out to bury him. I guarantee just about every one of us in this sanctuary tonight, we've been to a funeral. And we've watched them, Brother Kenny. They'll take that casket, they'll take that coffin, and at least good, strong, six strong men at least. I told them it'd take them about 10 to pack me. I'll probably, that's just a joke, by the way. But six strong men, sometimes they use eight, but they'll grab the handle of that bier, that coffin, and six or eight strong men will walk that corpse out to the hearse and or out at the cemetery. And I just want you to picture this, as they're carrying this man out on the bier, there's hands all over this thing. There's at least six or eight men, maybe more, listen, that's touching this thing, carrying this dead man out. I said there's hands all over the bier, hands all over the casket. Didn't make any difference, did it? But guess what? Woo! The Bible said Jesus walked up and he laid his hands on the bier. And you know what they done? They stopped. They stopped in their place. Hey, look here, hands all over this thing. May have been six men, may have been eight men, may have been 10 men, I don't know how many, but it never made no difference. But brother, when the hand of the Lord touched the bier, when the hand of the Lord touched the bier, I said when the hand of the Lord touched the bier, it made all the difference. Someone said, preacher, what are you trying to tell me tonight? I'm trying to tell you, take it out of your hands and put it in his hands, because you can't, but he can. You're not able, but he's more than able. Oh, I'm telling you, in your hands, it won't make any difference. But in his hands, it'll make all the difference. Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Some of you got your critical condition, and watch me, I'm hard to miss. Look up here. Here's what we'll do. We'll take our critical condition and we'll try to change it and make it better and manipulate it. And well, you know, I'll fix this and I'll change it and I'll do something with it. And you know what? It's worse off than when you started. But I'm telling you, when you take it out of your hands and you put it in his hands, it makes all the difference, amen. I said it makes all the difference, amen. When you take it out of your hands and put it in his hands, the hands of these men carrying this bier didn't change the critical condition one bit. But brother, when the hand of the Lord was on it, brother, when he got involved, brother, when he touched it, praise God, they had to stop in their tracks. I'm telling you, his touch makes all the difference. And then I want you to notice this. After he touched the bier, notice what he said. Young man, I say unto you, arise. Oh, praise God for his commanding call. Have you ever noticed in the scriptures, brother, every time he gives a command, something happens, friend. Oh, yeah, I told you the other night, Psalm 33:9, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Brother, I'm telling you, when he gives the commanding call, it makes all the difference. I told you last night, I preached on the storms. Can I tell you, his commanding call makes all the difference in the storms. And brother, you'll find in the scriptures that his commanding call makes all the difference in sickness. And his commanding call makes all the difference, brother, with Satan. And his commanding call makes all the difference with sin. And you're fixing to find out that his commanding call makes all the difference with the stronghold of death. I'm telling you, friend, when he speaks, when he gives the command, brother, that's all that it takes. Praise God. Thank God for his commanding call. Amen. You couldn't even have a good funeral with Jesus around. He'd raise him from the dead. Amen. You remember the night she was lost and undone, stooped in sin? And remember the night he just gave the command, and brother, you were saved, amen. Your sins were forgiven. You remember, listen, how many times you was in trouble, and he just gave the command, and he delivered you. How many times you've had a need, and he just gave the command, and your provision was made. How many times you didn't know what to do, and he gave the command, and he made the way clear. How many times has he gave the command, and done for you what nobody else could do? Praise God, he said, young man, I say unto you, arise, amen. So I see the critical conditions, and there might be somebody here, you've got some critical conditions. I see his caring compassion. Brother, he saw her, and he had compassion on her, and praise God, he sees you tonight, friend. And I see his commanding call as he come and placed his hand on the bier and spoke the words, young man, I say unto you, arise. I told you, their hands didn't make any difference. Their hands didn't change the situation. Their hands didn't do anything for him. But woo, when his hand got in there, praise God. Woo! I said when his hand got on it, friend, that made all the difference. And then lastly, I want you to see this. I want you to see Christ, the conqueror. Woo! I see Christ, the conqueror. Oh, yes, notice what the book said. He that was dead. Oh, you maybe didn't hear me back there. Amen. I said, he that was dead. He that was dead sat up. Sat up. How'd you like to been there, friend? How'd you like to seen that? You talk about busting up a good funeral. Amen. How'd you like to see he that sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Oh, praise God. I wonder if many days from this day, maybe many years from this day, they was all sitting around and someone might have popped up and said, hey, remember that one time you was dead? Yeah. and Jesus showed up and just raised you up. You remember that one time? You remember that one time we was taking you out to bury you and Jesus passed by? Even that one time we was headed for the graveyard and Jesus just touched the bar and said, rise up. You remember that time when it looked like there was no hope, that nothing could be done, but praise God, Jesus showed up and it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. It's not over because Jesus Christ the commander showed up. Amen. Jesus the conqueror showed up and said, rise up, young man. Praise God. He that was did. I'm preaching to a bunch of wuzzes. You all was a bunch of wuzzes, but you ain't no more because Jesus passed by your way and did for you what nobody else could do. I'm preaching to some of you that was convinced it's over. There's some of you here tonight. You was lost and undone. You wasn't fit to fool with. Nobody thought you would amount to anything. Everybody else gave up on you. They looked at your life and said it's over. But praise God, Jesus showed up and it's not over. There's some of you. The doctors gave up and said, ain't nothing else we can do. It's over. But Jesus showed up and reached in and said, it's not over. There's some of you, your marriage was in trouble. It was busted up. And we said, it's over. It's over. But Jesus come in and said, no, it's not over. There's some of you, you was discouraged, ready to give up and quit and said, it's over. But Jesus come by. And he touched you and said, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over. Praise God for Christ the conqueror. Amen. 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 Woo! Amen. I try to act dignified, but it don't work.
Yeah. Amen. Come on.
I get a case of the can't help it. It's just got to come out somewhere. Amen. Can I talk here, Billy, for a minute? One old preacher said it's like grease in a gourd on a smokehouse wall. It'll come out somewhere, amen. Woo! That's Appalachian talk, by the way, amen. He that was dead, he sat up. He sat up and began to speak. No wonder why Jesus said in John chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that believeth in me shall live and never die. Oh, praise God for Christ the conqueror. Reckon what his mama done. I guarantee you she didn't go on to the graveyard, friend. You know what I bet she done? I'm not a betting man, but I guarantee her and her boy went back home. Anybody remember where they lived? They lived in a place called Nain. N-A-I-N in your Bible, that's the only time in the Word of God you'll ever find the word Nain. Won't find it nowhere else but in Luke chapter 7. There's a lot of people that believe this word Nain has a Hebrew origin and comes from the word Na'ah. Ain't making it up, ain't smart enough to. They believe it comes from the word Na'ah. You know what that word means in the Hebrew? It means a home or a pleasant place. Woo! They were headed for a place of pain, but praise God, they went back to a pleasant place. Hey, they were in a place of predicament, but they went back to a pleasant place. They were in a place of peril, but went back to a pleasant place. Oh, can I just tell you, there might be somebody here tonight, you're in a place of pain. Oh, you're facing some critical condition. But I'm glad there's a God who can bring you back to a pleasant place when the devil's telling you it's over, when the world says it's over, when the flesh said it's over. I'm glad Christ the conqueror can show up and turn that thing around and take you from a place of pain to a pleasant place. I said to a pleasant place. Praise God, he can take you to a pleasant place. What no funeral that day, friend. Instead of a funeral, they had a feast. Instead of a burial, they got a blessing. Instead of being sad at the grave, they got satisfied with his grace. Yes. Woo! Praise God. Put that on your refrigerator somewhere, amen. I said, listen, instead of a funeral, preacher, they had a feast. Instead of a burial, they got the blessing. I'm talking about, brother, instead of being sad at the grave, praise God, I'm telling you, they got satisfied with his grace. Praise God, I'm glad for Jesus. I'm glad for Jesus. I'm glad for Christ the conqueror. Oh, you might be in a place of pain tonight, but he can bring you to a pleasant place. He can do for you what nobody else can do. Praise God, with him, friend, it's not over. Amen. I know how people are. Well, preacher, that's good and all, but you just don't know my critical condition. You ain't dead. Praise God. If he can raise the dead, he can surely take care of your problem, friend. Amen. The preacher's granddaughter, is it Ainsley? Is that her name? Ainsley. I'll tear it all to pieces. Ainsley. You know what she done told me tonight? I walked in and said, I thought they won. I said, how you doing in soccer? You know what she said? We ain't won a game yet this year. Man, I was congratulating her. I thought they won. She said, we ain't won a game all year. I told the preacher, you know what? Listen, she's playing for a team. Bless your heart, sis. Don't quit. She's playing for a team that ain't won a game yet this year. You know what? I'm serving one that ain't never lost a battle. I'm serving one that ain't never failed. I'm serving one that ain't never, dropped the ball. I'm serving one that is Christ the conqueror. That when he gives the command, it's done, friend. Praise God. He's still on the throne. Amen. It may be looking bad, friend. It may be looking like it's over. It's impossible. Preacher, it can't be done. There ain't no way. But I'm telling you, when Jesus shows up, it's not over. It's not over. Oh, there's been too many times that he showed up. There's been too many prayers that he's answered. There's been too many times he's made a way. There's been too many blessings that he sent down. There's too many impossibilities that he made possible. Don't tell me it's over. Don't you tell me it's over. I'm telling you, with Jesus, friend, it ain't over yet, honey. Amen. The critical conditions. She was on her way to the graveyard, friend, hurting, hopeless, and helpless. But the caring compassion, as she was coming out, he was going in. Don't know about you, but I'm glad he still shows up. Amen. When everybody else is walking out, he'll walk in. When everybody else says it's over, he's walking in, said, oh no, honey, it ain't over yet, amen. Hey, they meant well. They meant well, Brother Kenny, walking with her to the graveyard, oh, draped in black, mourning and weeping. But Jesus showed up as they was going out and said, oh no, stop the parade. Hold the train. It ain't over yet, praise God. Now I'm telling you, friend, it ain't over yet tonight. The commanding call, laid his hand on the bier. They stopped. I told you, in their hands, didn't make no difference. Look up here, mom. Look up here, mom. In your hands, ain't gonna make no difference. Dad, I know you mean well. In your hands, can't be done. Husband, wife, look up here. I know your heart's in the right place. But listen, in your hands, ain't going to change. But I'm telling you, in his hands. Why do you think Jairus said, Lord, come lay your hands on my daughter? Woo, daddy's hands couldn't do it, but Jesus' hands can. I'm telling you tonight, when you put it in his hands. I told you at the beginning of the service, that little boy's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Right. Andrew said, what is that among so many? Right. We're going to starve to death. What is that among so many? Jesus said, bring it here. Bring it here. Put it in my hands. Yeah. And brother, when he got a hold of it, he blessed it. He blessed it. He blessed it. Woo! And they all ate till they got filled up. Praise God. Somebody said that was the first happy meal that you ever read about. Praise God. I'm telling you, in his hands, in his hands, in his hands, it's not over. But I would to God tonight somebody would be willing to take it out of your hands and put it in his hands. You know what that's called? It's called faith. And I'm going to end with this. I'm talking about Christ the Conqueror. I don't know why I feel, I wasn't even going to mention this, but it just came to my mind. So, preacher, it's my last night. I'm going to put it in. Amen. Anytime in the Word of God that you ever read about faith, it is always followed by grace. Well, you got saved. That's how it happened. For by grace, through faith. And here's how Paul described it. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Look up. How'd you get into the church? I reckon you come through the door. You had access into this church by way of the door. Look up here, friend. If you're coming through windows, Brother Tim will counsel with you this week sometime. Amen. But I guarantee you, you had access into this church by way of the door. Does that door open right there, preacher? Can I show you something? Here's what Paul said. Paul said that by faith, he compared faith to a door. By faith, we have access in the grace. Woo! By faith, you have access in his grace. Oh, I just tell you tonight, I don't know your critical condition, but I'm telling you tonight, if you'll come by faith, he's got the grace to take care of it. He is Christ the Conqueror who still heals. He is Christ the Conqueror who still saves. He is Christ the Conqueror who still restores. He is Christ the Conqueror who still provides. He is Christ the Conqueror who can still bless. He is Christ the Conqueror who can still revive. He is Christ the Conqueror that can still do all things. Praise God. I'm glad that I know him. I know him. I know him. And tonight, friend, he wants to help you. And tonight, I assure you, friend, brother, when he's on the scene, it's not over yet. As the singers come tonight, as the singers come tonight, oh, listen, I'm glad he's here. And I'm glad he sees you, friend. And he knows all about you. And tonight, as we stand,